stock market predictions and more with Way of the Renaissance Man and top market analyst Jim Woods on this episode of Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. Welcome to Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. I'm your purveyor of prosperity and host, Heather Wagenhals. And on this episode, I'm making success simple with top market analyst and Way of the Renaissance Man, Jim Woods, as he returns for his quarterly guest host appearance. We're going to talk about what 2020 did in its wrap up, as well as revisiting the rest of the year, but more importantly, we're going to talk about what the financial markets are going to look like for 2021 in the near term and what we should be doing with our money in the meantime. So let's ask Jim where we should be. Welcome back to the show, Jim, and Happy New Year.
Thank you so much, Heather. Happy New Year to you as well. I think everybody is kind of prepping this for this year to be a lot saner and a lot more rational than 2020 was. That's pretty easy to do, actually, when you think about 2020. So it's kind of hard not to get saner than it was last year. So that's my bet.
It was a bit chaotic. I'll agree with you there.
Indeed. Especially for markets. I mean, markets had a crazy year. As you know, we've covered like the last the markets, every quarter this year. And so this is our final kind of wrap up for 2020 and into 2021. So it was interesting because, you know, after all the craziness, the political unrest, the social unrest, the uncertainty, and of course, the biggest, outlier was the coronavirus pandemic and all those lockdowns. I mean, at one point in the year, we were down huge. Like at the end of March, we were down by like almost 30% on the S&P. And that was like, I think everyone thought the world was going to come to an end.
Well, it certainly felt like it.
It did feel like it. It certainly did. But, you know, there's a very well-known saying by a man named Baron Rothschild, who is one of the Rothschild family, rich families and one of the richest families in the world. He said that you want to buy when there's blood in the streets. And a lot of people don't know this kind of caveat to, or this additional part of the quote, but he actually says, you want to buy when there's blood in the streets, even if it's your own blood. Now that is some profound stuff, because there's a lot of people that were bleeding hard in February and March in the markets. But if you would have had the ability or the foresight or the fortitude to buy in around the bottom there in March, early April, you would have been rewarded handsomely. I mean, even with that big drop, the S&P was up almost 16%, or actually a little bit more than 16% this year. And the NASDAQ composite, the tech heavy stocks, those were up 44%. That's just for the whole year. That doesn't even include like that big dip from January, early February, so till the bottom of March. So if you would have bought in at that bottom part, you would have had gains even way more than that, like 60, 70% in the NASDAQ composite. So, I mean, it's hard to do when you're looking at, at a sea of red, but if you can kind of stomach that volatility and kind of buy in there, you definitely would have been rewarded. So,
well, I could personally attest to that, because one of my companies that was hemorrhaging like crazy at the beginning of the year is now, as you've been watching, starting to hit some really good numbers as a result of what's happened with the pandemic. So while it has been a bust for some, it's been a boon for others. And so it's really kind of a bitter pill to try to swallow, to think, even if I'm bleeding, I should be like continually buying in. It's kind of a crazy thought, but the markets kind of proved that out.
Yeah, the markets proved that out to be over the years, over the decades, over the last century or so now almost. It's proven to be like the most resilient and the most, and the, like one of the best wealth generators that you could ever have. Real estate is certainly a good one too. Gold, and now Bitcoin is actually something that people are using as a speculative tool to do really well. But
well, and didn't you recently write about it in your Deep Woods too?
Yes, I actually recently wrote about Bitcoin. I think the big thing about Bitcoin is people say, is Bitcoin the new gold? You know, and I say it's not the new gold because it hasn't had the time to mature into a, you know, into an asset class that the way I see it, gold is a wealth protection tool, and it's been around for 5,000 years, and it's proven that that's what it is. Bitcoin, on the other hand, has been around for about 12 years. So gold has a little bit of a head start on Bitcoin in terms of its proven wealth.
I kind of dig in the gold track record.
Yeah, exactly. But there's no doubt that there's been money that's come out of gold and gold ETFs and rotated into Bitcoin. And that's part of the reason why Bitcoin's appeal. And even the Bitcoin ETF company is marketing it as an alternative to gold or the new gold, that kind of thing. And I don't think it's like that, but you can love Bitcoin and you can love gold at the same time. You just have to know what they're for. Like gold is for wealth protection and Bitcoin is for trying to get some serious momentum and alpha in your portfolio. You know, if you're looking to buy something that's moving higher and that has a possibility of shooting up a few 100%, then you want to own some Bitcoin. But conversely, we saw this in 2018, Bitcoin just crumbled. You know, it went to like down like, you know, 60-70%. So you have to be aware that that the Bitcoin's not like something that you want to buy when there's blood in the streets. It's actually something you want to be very, very judicious, get in and get out kind of thing, you know, unless you just want to kind of ride the Bitcoin wave. And if you really believe in that, this is the next thing in currencies, then, you know, or in investment, then you can kind of put a little bit of money in there and ride it through. But I wouldn't take all your net worth and stick it in Bitcoin because it's just far too volatile and far too unpredictable and far too subject to, like, you know, the whims of governments and people that don't want Bitcoin to succeed. So,
right. Well, there's that. And from an investment standpoint, I agree with you because it's not a proven instrument. The idea seems solid, the way it works, all of the technology and the programming behind it seems significant. But I think that for me, what I like about Bitcoin, not as an investment, but what a tool for liberty it's become for people in some of these oppressed countries, that if they used or hoarded or spent US dollars, they went to jail, but they still had to live, even though they were in these socialist economies that were supposed to be paying for everything. They were starving in the streets, and because of cryptocurrency, they were able to use those tools to interact with one another and still generate commerce and survive in very, very oppressive regimes. And so that's the biggest merit that I think it has as a tool or a medium of exchange. But I'm with you. I'm yet to fall in love with it as an investment tool for sure.
Yeah, definitely from a liberty standpoint, it's a beautiful thing. And as you know, we've talked about this in the past, and I'm a small L libertarian when it comes to anything. So anything that kind of promotes liberty, especially financial liberty, like, and Bitcoin is that one of those things. It's certainly been like a positive development, I think, and, you know, for society and for people's portfolios.
Yeah, well, it's exciting to see what's on the horizon, because I think we hit some new highs this week, like 40,000 or something I saw.
Yeah, it was definitely a big, the first week of January has been another big, big week for Bitcoin. And, you know, where it stops, nobody knows. But there was one Wall Street analyst that said that Bitcoin could, you know, speculated that Bitcoin could go up to 146,000 per coin. You know, I mean, that was a very bullish call, but
yeah.
His argument was basically if a lot of the money that's in gold now rotates into Bitcoin, then that would be the value of it. Now, the thesis, of course, is flawed, because that's like saying if everybody sold their house and went, you know, and went and lived at the beach, then we'd have a lot of like open real estate. Well, yeah, but no one's going to do that.
That's an incredible visual right there.
Yeah, exactly. There'd be a lot of empty homes if everyone just kind of went and, you know, camped out. But the point is, of course, no one's going to actually sell all their gold and move into Bitcoin. But the more people see Bitcoin as a alternative to gold, and the more people that see Bitcoin as a vehicle for what we call the fast money and fast money profits, then it's going to continue to do well. And then there's one of the ways, I think people don't know that there are alternative ways than just to own the cryptocurrency itself. You don't actually have to own a Bitcoin in order to profit from it. You can own the exchange traded fund that is tied to its fortunes, which is it's called the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust. This symbol is GBTC. But then you can also own specific companies that help facilitate the trading of Bitcoin. That's actually one of the companies that I recently recommended in my Bullseye Stock Trader service. So if anyone wants to check that out, I know you have show links, but it's jimwoodsinvesting.com.
That's a great one. And, you know, why don't we take a break right now? And then when we come back from the break, we can talk about some other areas of 2021 that might show some promise. Are vaccines the way to go? Maybe there's other investments or other industries and genres that we might want to be focusing on. You are watching Jim Woods on Unlock Your Wealth Today. Stay tuned for more right after this. No time to read the best-selling books for your business or industry? What if I told you you could enjoy the best and most meaningful parts of a book in about 12 minutes? Believe me, I'm Heather Wagenhals, and I'm making success simple by helping you learn on the go just like I do with text, audio, and video summaries from your favorite best-selling books, and do it on the fly in less than 12 minutes with Steve Cunningham, and read it for me. Join tens of thousands of leaders around the world, including yours truly, who use Read It For Me to learn the biggest ideas from the world's best leadership, sales, marketing, and personal development books in less than 12 minutes. All you have to do to begin reading best-selling books and enjoying your special rate for Unlock Your Wealth fans is visit unlockyourwealth.com/readitforme or click on the link somewhere in this post. Learn on the go with text, audio, and video summaries from your favorite best-selling books, and do it on the fly in less than 12 minutes. Visit unlockyourwealth.com/readitforme and start your 12-minute reading journey now. Welcome back to Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. I'm your purveyor of prosperity and host, Heather Wagenhals. And on this episode, we've been chatting with top market analyst and Way of the Renaissance man, Jim Woods. And we've been recapping 2020. And Jim, welcome back to the show. What do we think, as we continue this discussion about 2021, are we talking about different types of areas that have seen some significant growth, maybe things like durable goods, since we were all sitting home and going, oh my gosh, I need a new washer, I need a new dryer, I need this, I need that. Are we gonna still see growth in those areas, or am I off? Is there another direction that you think we're going?
I think we could see some growth in what's, see, last year we had what's called the stay-at-home stock play. So people couldn't go out, they couldn't do anything, they couldn't, you know, they were locked down, they couldn't go to restaurants or vacations or anything like that. So what do? They went, they looked inward, they binge watched Netflix, they shopped on Amazon, they they went to Home Depot and Lowe's and got stuff to upgrade their homes. They're like, hey, we're going to spend a lot of time here. We need to upgrade this bathroom or buy this, do this thing with our backyard or whatever, stuff like that. So there was a lot of those, there was home improvement stocks that really did well. I'm long on Lowe's stock. So that stock certainly had a very good year. And there was a lot of other stocks like Netflix and Amazon and some of these companies that facilitated the going online for smaller businesses. And those stocks did really well. Zoom, like we're on Zoom right now. And that stock had a tremendous year.
One of the greatest communication tools for things that we do, right?
Right. It was in the right place at the right time, just like some of these other software companies that allowed people to go online and do business. So that was a trend in 2020. And to some extent that trend is here to stay. There's no doubt that people are going to use Zoom more than they did before, you know, the pandemic. But will it be the hot stock like it was last year? No, I very much doubt it. And what I think is going to happen is it's helpful to look at this thing as what I call the formula for stocks going higher in 2021. So the formula consists of the following components: a unprecedented fiscal stimulus, which we will definitely get now that we have a completely Democrat-controlled government. We have basically a very razor-thin margin in the Senate for Democrats, and a very small margin for Democrats in the House of Representatives, and of course the presidency. So while they might not be able to pass huge legislation that is like totally game-changing, what they will be able to pass is a lot of stimulus, because everybody wants to spend money, especially even if you're a Republican, you want to spend money on stimulus, things like that. So you got the fiscal stimulus.
I get the cringe of the open checkbook starting to happen.
The cringe of the open checkbook is get ready to cringe even further in 2021, because it's coming. So we have that element of it. Then we also have unprecedented Federal Reserve accommodation. Fed's keeping rates super low. They're doing QE all the way through this year and probably all the way through next year. Now, of course, that's subject to change, but as of right now, we're talking about a couple years of very accommodative policy. So that's the second part of the equation. The third part of the equation is a return to normal via the vaccine. And if the coronavirus vaccine actually like allows us all to kind of start living again, like we did pre-pandemic, or at least a modified pre-pandemic kind of life, then that's going to be another huge element to helping stocks go higher. And now the fourth element of the equation was a divided government. Because Wall Street loves a divided government. That means no higher taxes, no more big government regulation. But now that we don't have a divided government, we still sort of have it. So that's partly a good thing. But we don't have a completely one. So I would look to see, one of the things we're going to have to worry about this year is more regulation and more tax increases. I think that tax increases will be passed at some point. Maybe not in 2021, but sometime in the early part of the Biden administration, I suspect we will get a tax headwind on markets, and especially on capital gains. So that could pull down earnings and that could hurt equity prices. But right now, the prospect of fiscal stimulus being much, much higher than it is even now, that is really overweighting the formula. And it's making it, that's why stocks in so far this week, in the first week of January, that's why they've been hitting record highs, because everybody loves fiscal stimulus on Wall Street. So if we're going to get more of that, and in the short term, we're going to get more higher equity prices. Now, long term, that might result in higher bond yields and inflation even, and that won't be good for the markets. That won't be good for the bottom line of corporations. But so far, we haven't seen that. So until we start seeing that, it's going to be more of a medium to long-term problem rather than a short-term problem. So if you're worried about those kind of issues in the long term, so am I. But if you're worried about them for the short term and you want to stay on the sidelines, Do not do that. Take advantage of the current conditions right now and get your money to work for you. Because if the markets do start tanking because of inflation or higher bond yields or more debt, more, you know, really bad like government fiscal situation, you'll at least have the money to ride yourself away until something can be, you know, fixed about it. So that's my recommendation. Strong recommendation is don't worry about what might happen down the line in a Biden administration. Worry about what's going on now and take advantage of it.
Well, because I'm a good student of Jim Woods Investing and I subscribe to all of your publications, I think about, you know, how you talk about News Q, and I think how you talk about that the market is a forward looking device. And so it's pricing those things. Am I using the right terminology? Pricing
you're
those things?
No, you got it right on. You're a very good student.
Yay, A plus.
A plus.
So I just mentioned Bullseye. So if I could talk about actually that publication, because Thursday you talked about some outlooks. And I kind of liked this perspective that you shared, your creative, very Jim Woods style of writing, and the way you always incorporate your very Renaissance man view of the world. Can we talk about that? You know, because we've talked about some specific stuff, your formula, but like, let's talk about your outlook, because I think that that's one of the things that I'm enamored with the most, and the way you apply your Renaissance man tools to what you do, as you forecast and predict and select stocks for your subscribers.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I try to make it a little bit different than some of the other stuff that people get, because I think you can kind of get tired of talking about fundamentals and technical patterns and things like that. That's all part of the game too. But we're doing this because we want to succeed in life. We're doing this because we want a beautiful life. You know, we want to achieve our values. And in order to do that, you have to make the right decisions with your money. But before you can even do that, you have to have that kind of attitude. You have to have, I think, at least works for me. I think it's helpful for one to have what I call a benevolent universe kind of premise. You know, the basically meaning that the world is basically good as long as you are able to apply your reason, and when you apply your reason, you can achieve your values. It's not the universe isn't skewed against you. It actually doesn't even care about you. But as long as you do the right things, you're able to make it. And if you take advantage of what's there, and making good decisions and doing the things that you know you should do, and if you don't know what you should do, you'll learn what you should do, and you tackle it in that kind of way, like problem solving creatures that we are, then you're going to be able to succeed, and the success is up to you. And that's how I look at it. I mean, some people go, well, that's very optimistic. You know, that's like, you know, you don't control this and that. And it's true. I don't control very much. Nobody does, but you do control your own decisions. So, and also you control your own attitude. There was a famous quote that once said that humans are basically as happy as they choose to be. And it was roughly like that. And it was from Abraham Lincoln. So if you choose to look at the world and be happy, then you can be happy. If you choose to look at the world as a place where your values can be achieved, then that's what's going to happen. You're going to achieve them. If you look at the world as a veil of tears where no success can happen and you're doomed to failure no matter what efforts you put, then you're going to be doomed to failure. So the way I see it, I mean, I'm a very optimistic person. I look at things. Somebody told me once I look at life, you know, like with a glass half full. And I told him, yeah, I look at the at life with a glass half full. And I also look at life with the other half of that glass being a fine Bordeaux that's already swirling around in my stomach. So
I love that.
That's how optimistic I am about life. And, you know, it's definitely not, I don't want people to think that, you know, I have some kind of, you know, skewed or rose-colored glasses on the world, because I definitely don't. You have to look at reality for what it is. Reality, objective reality, is what it is, and you have to deal with that. But in dealing with that, you can see the beauty in not only your strengths but your flaws, and you can try to either work on the premise that you know your flaws or you know your strengths, and you can maximize each of those things to your own advantage. And that's particularly true when you're doing any kind of thing in business or any kind of investing. You know, that old adage, you know, like that you need to, that, you know, to thy own self be true. You have to know yourself. You have to know what you're doing. You have to know your objective, and you have to know reality, because that way you're able to put all of those things in the same kind of line that's working for you rather than working against you. A lot of people go into investing and they fall in love with a particular stock or a particular idea. Even if it's not working, they want it to work so bad that they stick with it, and then they end up losing money. When if all they would have done is just open their eyes to the other opportunities, then they would have been able to be nimble and done that. And that's what I want people to take away. 2021, the opportunities may not be the same as they were in 2020. You know, we're going to have something what I call a go out and spend trade. So when people are going to go out and spend money, you want to own stocks that benefit from that, like consumer discretionary. You want to own things like, you know, cruise lines and hotels and restaurants and movie theaters. Not quite yet. We haven't seen a big return to those things yet, but we will if the vaccine works. People are going to be dying to go do these things, and those stocks are going to do well. So keep your eye on those, and keep your eye on what the situation is, what I call the news cue, the reality of what's going on. And if you're attuned to that, and if you have that benevolent universe kind of idea, then sky's the limit. You're going to be able to do well. And I'm very, very optimistic that people can do well and can treat themselves like they deserve to be treated.
And that's one of the things that I've enjoyed about all of the writing that you've done with your investment stuff, because it's not just about focusing on what to buy and what to sell, but you're educating your consumer or your subscriber on how you make these decisions. And this benevolent sense of life that you have is really one of the cornerstones, I think, that makes your Way of the Renaissance Man project come alive. And I'd like for you to talk a little bit about that, because as we look at that, I think all that you share on your wayoftherenaissanceman.com website is what you've just kind of described, you know, in a kind of grander sort of view. Can you talk about what you do or how that translates?
Yeah, thank you. I'd be happy to. I think what we just talked about the optimism and the kind of the, you know, reality-based focus, making good decisions, that definitely applies to your money. But that applies to everything you do in life, to your hobbies, to your relationships, to the way you raise your children, to the way you conduct yourself around your peers, and just to anything in life that has some kind of a value to you. You know, if you approach it from an aspect of you approach it with a full focus, and you integrate all of the different items that you kind of, you know, learn from being fully focused. And then then and only then, I think, can you really like celebrate your life with it, you know, because you know that it's real. You know that it's not just some whim. You didn't just win the lottery. You earned the lottery, you know? And so that's the purpose of that project, is to help people gain the tools that they need to, you know, to understand themselves, understand, you know, their life better, and understand kind of what the potential of having a really full life is. And so that people can go out there and do it and enjoy it. I mean, on the show we have, I usually interview somebody who I consider to be a fellow Renaissance man, meaning like somebody that has an expertise in a certain field, but also looks at the world in a little bit different way. So, I mean, I have people, I have doctors, I have songwriters, I have businessmen, I have philosophers, I have fighter pilots, you know, I have soldiers, I have all kinds of different people that in their walk of life, they've achieved something quite impressive, but they also have incorporated other elements of their kind of awareness in their life to help that's helped them get to that area. So what is it that made them successful? What is it that makes their life, you know, robust? What is it that makes them a Renaissance man? That's what we look at the show. So I encourage everyone to check it out. It's very entertaining. You're not going to get stock picks on that, but you're going to get life picks.
Love that. That's the first thing you read my mind. That was so exciting. Yeah, so you're going to get the best life picks. Well, I've just been so grateful to have been a part of the process of the Way of the Renaissance Man and to be able to contribute to help fostering the growth of your project. And it's really touching people's lives in a really valuable and meaningful way. And at the end of the day, I think that that's what makes me so happy about it.
Yeah, same here. I concur 100%. Thank you very much.
So, I mean, we've talked about just about everything on today's episode. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to throw out there for 2021 until we see you in another couple months?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing to keep in mind, I mean, you know, I'm very optimistic, of course, but one thing to keep in mind is just because that the calendar is turning, just because you have a different calendar on the wall, that does not mean that we're out of the woods yet, per se. We still have a mutating coronavirus. We still have some political unrest. We still have, you know, enemies at the gate that are attacking us, you know, electronically with cyber attacks. And we don't know what's going to happen this year. I mean, we still have a lot of unknowns. And so don't get too comfortable just because it's a new year. I know everybody wants this to be a different year than 2020. And I definitely think we are going to have a better year, but it's not guaranteed, as is nothing in life. So you have to stay on your toes. You have to be prepared, because we want the best, but you always have to be prepared to deal with bad circumstances. So don't let your guard down. 2021, you know, definitely could hit us with an unseen punch. So be careful.
Right. And, you know, I think around the next time you'll be back, we'll be right around the hope for the best, plan for the worst key in our Keys to Riches financial philosophy. So we'll be able to kind of take a look at what's happened and see if we need to, you know, adjust our plans and chart a new course in order to change direction. So if folks want to find out more about the different newsletters that you have, or to find your Way of the Renaissance Man project, can you give us a couple of websites?
Sure. And just remember the final thought on that, like what you just said, is adjust accordingly. Always keep that in mind. So for your portfolio, and for your investing ideas and for stuff on the economy and markets, go to jimwoodsinvesting.com. And if you want to explore the content, the audio and the written content of the Renaissance Man Project, just simply go to wayoftherenaissanceman.com and you'll find it all there.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being a part of the show. And for those of you without a pencil, never fear, unlockyourwealthtoday.com is here, where you can visit Jim's show page, get the links to all of his incredible resources, and so much more. For Jim Woods, I'm Heather Wagenhals. Now go out and unlock your wealth today.
unlockyourwealthtoday.com is produced by Heather Wagenhals and the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation. UnlockYourWealthToday.com and its affiliates are copyrighted 2018 with all rights reserved. For more information on the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series, please visit our website at www.unlockyourwealthtoday.com.